Welcome to the Townships at 12 for today. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour here on theCUBE, 88.9 FM CJMQ. In today's show, I will be speaking with Terry L. Allison, playwright for the dramedy called 45th Parallel. It's coming to the Lake Brome Theater on December 4th. I will also have lots of community events and some music in the first half of the show today. And in the second part of today's show, I will talk with Fanny Godet, educator and performer and organizer of the Champlain College's Music's brand new choir show called One Hit Wonders, coming to the Bishop's University Bandine Hall stage on December 4th and 5th. I will also have some health news and some music in the second half of today's show. We will start the show today with Kate Wolf, Across the Great Divide.
I've been walking in my sleep and counting troubles, instead of counting sheep. And where the years went, I can't say. I just turned around and they've gone away. And I've been sifting through the layers of dusty books and faded papers, they tell a story I used to know. It was one that happened so long ago. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the great divide. Well, I heard the owl calling softly as the night was falling, with a question, and I replied, but he's gone across the borderline. He's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the great divide. Hour that I have seen is the one that comes between the edge of night and the break of day, when the darkness rolls away. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, where the rivers change direction across the great divide. It's gone away in yesterday, and I find myself on the mountainside, great divide.
Today we're turning our attention to a compelling new theatrical work that blends family, drama, history, and timely social issues. The play centers on the fictional Ganuel family farm and Beavertail Lake, two properties literally cut in half by the 1908 survey of the Quebec-Vermont border. More than a century later, first cousins Mary Louise and Andy meet at their lakeside gazebo, a structure divided by the international line, to confront a new threat, the proposed construction of a wall and a militarized border that could shatter their peace, their privacy, and the future of their land. The story is a thoughtful dramedy that explores borders, not just the political ones, but the emotional ones families build and must learn to cross. Joining us is playwright Terry L. Allison, a retired American chancellor, professor, arts dean, and LGBTQ advocate, who now calls Montreal home. His latest creative work is being brought to life under the direction of Natalie Hamel Roy, who is leading the first public reading with a cast of five talented actors. We'll talk about the inspiration behind the play, the themes it explores, and what audiences can expect from the early stage reading. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm really pleased to welcome Terry Allison to the Townships at 12. Now, today we're going to be talking about a play. It's going to be at Lake Brome on December 4th, and the play is called 45th Parallel. Now, first of all, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, Terry.
Oh, sure. So my name is Terry Allison. I live now in Montreal. I'm married to a well-known Canadian voice actor, Sylvain Etu, and he mostly dubs and does advertisements in Quebecois French. And you probably recognize his voice if you listen to French language television in Quebec. I recently retired after spending, about 50 years in higher education, from student to being a staff member, then a professor and an administrator. And right at the end of my career, I even taught online. So I taught English, theater, and I've been living in Montreal now for a couple of years. Before that, I lived 4 years in northwestern Vermont.
How did you get involved with the play, 45th Parallel?
Yes, well, since I used to teach introduction to theater, I would have my students write scenes. And in the back of my mind, I thought, well, you know, I should try doing that myself and see if they develop into a play. Like many other playwrights, I think inspiration can be easy to describe and sometimes difficult to describe. So my immediate inspiration was going to the border at Stansted and Derby Line and seeing those orange cones, which we think about related to construction, but strung between them was yellow police tape. And that was the border. That was the border between two countries, you know, orange cones and police tape. And that just gave me a mental image. And I thought, wow, that would be a great image on stage to look at. For the audience members to look at the actors on stage and have that police tape just to separate the stage into two parts where we could see actors on one side of the border and actors on the other side. So that really got me thinking about the 45th parallel and what kind of play I could set there.
So let's start with the premise. This play centers on the Ganuel family farm and Beavertail Lake, split in half by the 1908 Quebec-Vermont border survey. What inspired the setting, and what does a divided landscape make such a powerful backdrop for the story?
Yes, I just mentioned a little about the inspiration, but I was also inspired, like many other people recently, from the pandemic to see a family divided by the border, because I was living in northwestern Vermont on Lake Champlain, and my spouse, Sylvain, was living right across from Montreal and La Prairie, and we couldn't see each other for months. So, and then, you know, I went through the quarantine several times. So that was certainly on my mind, what it would be like to be part of a family separated by the border. But as I said, I just had that strong mental image of a border marked by a flimsy little device like police tape, and what that could mean for a family that had been separated for more than a century by just that little kind of tape. That was really my inspiration.
Now, Mary Louise and Andy, first cousins, reunite after years of conflict. What can you tell us about their relationship and the emotional stakes when they meet at that lakeside gazebo on two sides of the border?
Well, I don't want to give away the whole story, but but what I can say is these are two cousins who were close when they were younger. They had a major falling out, and the emotional stake for one is she really wants to secure the future of her family on the Quebec side of the border. She wants things to go well for her daughter and her first grandchild that's coming very soon in the play. And then on the other side, somebody who seeks forgiveness and redemption, but is also not somebody perhaps emotionally capable of just directly asking for that. So I tried to set it up so that you would see that dynamic play out between these two major characters.
Now, the looming threat in the play is the possible construction of a wall and a more militarized border. How does the play explore the impact of political decision on everyday families and rural communities?
Well, part of that wasn't inspired by reading an article where there was a hearing on the Vermont side about possibly putting up large towers with lights and what the community's reactions were. I think part of it, what I was trying to capture, is just how we ordinary people, ordinary citizens and communities, can feel overwhelmed and helpless in light of these major political tensions playing out in the United States. It's, of course, more on the southern border, but as we all know recently, it's been very strong at the northern border as well. So I wanted to capture some of the sense of characters, people feeling overwhelmed by that political reality, but then having the knowledge, the willingness to try something new to, as ordinary citizens, what can we do? I attended the Peaceful Assembly recently, I think it was in August, sponsored by Mère au Front in Quebec near Fredericksburg. And I found that very inspirational as well. One thing we can do is organize, meet with each other peacefully on both sides of the border and see what we can do as ordinary citizens.
Now, this is described as a Tom Lee dramedy. How do you strike a balance between humor and the heavier themes like borders, division, and family tension?
Well, first of all, thank you. I hope I did strike a balance. I think that's one of the more difficult things to do. One of the things I think I did that other playwrights did is just to listen to the characters as they're speaking to you. You keep imagining these characters and their conversations, and you just let them run in their head. And then you find out, well, sometimes even in tense situations, we're going to say funny things and kind of break the tension through that. So it's not rarely, even in Shakespeare's tragedies, rarely are they totally tragic without some kind of moments of levity and humor. So that's exactly what I tried to do.
Now, the cast includes Isabelle Michilo, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, Roman Denis, Don Anderson, Lisa Bronwyn Moore, and Jean Lachance. What qualities do these actors bring to the characters in the story?
Well, one reason that they were chosen by our director, Nathalie Hamel-Roy, is that each of them is a very prominent voice actor as well as their other acting credits. So, but I did specifically write the role of Marie-Louise for Isabelle Michelon because I know her very well. She's a good friend of myself, Sylvain. And it was really Natalie who found the other actors, whom I think the only one I knew slightly was Jean Lachance. So she brought them together. And I think one of the qualities they bring is this is going to be a reading of the play. This is not a full stage play. So since they have a lot of experience in conveying character and action, solely through their voices, this is what the audience is going to hear at this particular reading.
What do you think made her the right person to help bring this early version of the play to life?
Well, Natalie, like Isabelle, went to the Conservatoire for acting in Montreal, and they were in the same class with Sylvain, my spouse. So I had already known Natalie for several years now. And she and Isabelle did the very first reading, just, you know, sitting around literally my kitchen table, read some of the characters, sometimes more than one character in a reading. And Natalie really encouraged me to continue with the play. She also recruited all these voice actors and has worked with them as their director during dubbing, advertising, other sites. Kinds of voice acting work. So that's what, for me, made her ideal to direct this reading of the play.
After the reading, there's a conversation with the audience. What kind of feedback are you hoping to gather at this stage of the creative process?
Well, I think we'll probably start very open-ended. You know, what are people's reactions? What did they like? What didn't they like? It's one thing to have a group of actors sit around, and they've given me quite a bit of feedback, which already has helped me to keep refine and I have to say, keep editing the text, making it a little shorter, have more dramatic impact. So we'll be looking to the audience to see what they got out of the play, and can I make this an even stronger play based on their reaction. So I think it's a great opportunity for an audience member to contribute to a work in progress.
Now, Terry, you have a background as an educator, an LGBTO advocate and writer. Now, how do your personal experiences shape the themes and characters in the play?
Well, I mentioned a couple of them. One of them is I actually lived through separation at the border. I am a U.S. citizen, but Canadian permanent resident. And so I've lived on both sides of the border and experienced that as well. One thing that fascinated me when I moved to northern Vermont that I didn't really know much about is a significant percentage of the population actually came from Quebec, usually from Francophone families who no longer speak French or speak very little French. So I certainly wove that experience into the play. You mentioned being an LGBTQ advocate. I have written now in my 3 years of retirement, but I started a little before that. I've written now 4 plays, and I always want to integrate gay, lesbian characters into my work because that's certainly my lifetime experience of having a lot of friends and being part of the LGBTQ society as well.
Now, borders, physical, emotional, and political, are central to the story. What do you hope audiences will take away from the way the play deals with the idea of separation versus connection?
One idea that crystallizes what you're asking me there is I would like the audience to experience the fact that we see the border as an area of division, but it also can be a place of communion, of bringing people together. And if there was a main theme around the play, I would say maybe that's it, that we can reimagine the border area as a place of coming together rather than separation.
Now, family legacy and the future of the land play a big role in The Cousin's Dilemma. How does the play address the question of what we pass down to the next generation?
I didn't grow up in a farm family, although I remember my grandparents living on a farm, one side of my family. And in high school, I lived in Central California in a very agricultural community where a lot of my classmates were living on farms. It really struck me again when I moved to northern Vermont, which is Vermont is one of the most rural states of the United States with small cities and small villages. And I really paid attention to the media while I was there. I watched the public television station, which has a lot of programs, locally made programs that are wonderful. And it's a real dilemma in this play and many others, what do you do in that circumstance when rural areas are being depopulated? Children often want to seek professional opportunities even outside the state of Vermont, and certainly in rural areas of Quebec as well. People tend to migrate to the larger cities. So I was really thinking about those themes of all the work it takes to keep those rural communities going and those farms going. And it really depends on the politics of the state, the region, the federal government as well. In the United States now, the current administration has set about farms, the bigger, the better. That's the only way you can survive. But when you think about that, what does that do to the small family farm? And if they're all combined, there's no small family farm anymore. So I really tried to weave in that story and think about how can you leave a legacy to the next generation with all of these pressures to, as we say, go big or go home. And so my characters go big, and I think a surprising way.
I think you've answered my next question about the story being timely right now. What's next for this project after the stage reading? Are there plans for revisions, more workshops, or a full production in the future?
Well, this is the first stage. Many things could happen after this. I could have, for example, another public reading, perhaps at a theater in Vermont. I'm applying and looking for many opportunities. There could be a workshop of the play in which there's not a fully staged professional production at the end, but actors rehearsing the roles and working through all of what the play might look like if it was staged. And of course, ideally, and what would be wonderful as the next step is, as a small theater company somewhere would love to produce this play and hire the actors and director and, you know, just do a full production. So that would be the best outcome. And I hope one of those things happens with the play, because I've really enjoyed writing it. And I do think it will resonate, particularly, as I said, with the audiences on both sides of the border.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. It certainly sounds like an interesting play, 45th Parallel. Now, the first reading, it's on December 4th at the Lake Brome Theater. Who's invited? Is it closed to just a certain individuals?
No, it's up on their website. The tickets are very reasonably priced. I think the maximum price is $11, so that's certainly very reasonable. And there will be, after the play, as you mentioned, there'll be a feedback session. The play is going to last about 85 minutes. I think it's the last we timed, and there'll be 30 minutes for those who wish to stay and provide feedback, which I would really love. I'd love to hear what people think about 45th Parallel.
Okay, and do you know what time the reading is?
It's at 7 p.m. And okay. For those who don't know Knowlton, I really suggest you might want to come early. There's a coffee shop and bookstore open till 5. They're both very well known, and there are several restaurants, and so you could make an evening of it.
Okay, that sounds good. And for more information, just go to the Lake Brome Theater website, I guess.
Yes, Théâtre Lac Brome, mm-hmm. And you will find their website. And certainly I encourage French speakers to understand English well to come, because I'd love to hear their reactions to, there's just a little French spoken. It's almost entirely English, but love to hear their reactions as well.
Okay, interesting. Anything else you'd like to add, Terry, before we go that we left out?
No, it's just been wonderful working with the theater there at Lac Brome in Knowlton. And I encourage people who are interested in these questions and interested in seeing a work in development to come on out on December 4th. I'd love to see you there.
Okay, well, we thank you very much. We've been talking with Terry Allison, playwright, the first reading of the 45th Parallel coming up at the Theatre Lake Brome on December 4th at 7 p.m. Everybody's invited. Thanks you very much, Terry, and all the best on the play.
Thank you so much.
And next up, we have some community event announcements for you. And it's time again for Lenoxville Elementary School, their annual Spaghetti Supper fundraiser. This year, it's on Friday, December 5th, 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The school is located on Academy Street in Lenoxville. This year's proceeds will be going toward their new playground. Tickets sold at the door, $15 for those 13 years and up, $10 for those 6 to 12-year-olds, and it's free for 5-year-olds and under. Everyone in the community is welcome. Cash only. Don't miss Santa's visit at Queen Square in Lenoxville on Saturday, December 6th. The fun starts at 10 a.m., activities for all the family. Also, CJMQ will be present. We will be having two 30-minute games of bingo, 1 p.m. to 1:30 and 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Each participant age 18 years and over will receive two free bingo cards, and prizes will be available to win. There will be a Christmas market on December 6, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Lenoxville United Church, located at 6 Church Street in Lenoxville. There's a book sale coming up Saturday, December 6th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is hosted by the Lenoxville Library. It will be at the Amity Baudouin Community Center, 10 Samuel Gratham Street in Lenoxville. It opens at 10 a.m. and goes until 3 p.m. Hundreds of books in both French and English, most just $1 or $2. Fiction, nonfiction, children's books, and more. Plus, discover rare and collectible items. In the last hour, there's a deal. Fill a bag for just $10. Cash or debit card. Christmas concert to feed the needy. Entrance is free. Voluntary donation box at the door on Saturday, December 6th, 6:30 p.m. at St. Patrick's Church, located at 20 Gordon Street in Sherbrooke. Performing Valerie Creet and Francois Lopri, Esther Bouchard and Manon Blouin. There will be a Christmas bazaar at Sherbrooke Elementary School. That happens on Saturday, December 6th, 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. There's a bistro, baked table, silent auction, new to you, scholastic book fair, kitty corner and raffles, and the dance club and the choir will perform at 11 a.m. at Sherbrooke Elementary School, located at 242 Ontario Street in Sherbrooke. Saturday, December 20th at 5 p.m., there is a festive feast hosted by the Unitarians and Universalists at the UUS Tree Church on Main Street in North Hatley. Free festive meal. Doors open at 5 p.m. Meal is served at 5:30 p.m. Kids concert to follow. If you wish to bring a dish, please private message Melanie McRae. Everyone is welcome. You're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM, and this is the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen. I want to thank my guest in the first half hour today, playwright Terry Allison. Check out the Theater Lake Brome online. We will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12. And in part two today, I will be talking with Fanny Godet about the show coming up at Champlain College. The show is called One Hit Wonders. We will close the first part of today's show with a song by Blue Rodeo, and the song is called Lost Together. Stay tuned.
Strange and beautiful are the stars tonight that dance around your head. In your eyes I see that perfect world. I hope that doesn't sound